Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
Now, listen, good management always attracts resources. God is a good God. Say that with me. God is a good God. He only gives good gifts to His children. And what does He do? He expects His people to manage what He has given to them, to add value to it.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for continuing to join us for Revive Radio. Let's get back into the message series, Leading in a Crisis. This message was taken from a recent Wednesday night Bible study here at Pace Assembly. Let's get back into the message with Pastor Rogers.
Can you believe in the middle of this crisis that we would be having individuals who are playing politics in the middle of people dying every day by the hundreds? Now, my friend, the wisdom of God needs to come upon you and me, because in this hour, we can't afford to be playing games with people's lives. And so whether or not Washington gets wisdom or not, whether or not the state government gives wisdom or the county government gives wisdom, you better get wisdom for you and your household. That's what Joshua said. He said, y'all can, if you want to serve the Lord on the other side of the Jordan, that's up to you. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve. This is wisdom. We're going to serve the Lord. I can't make up my mind for you, but I can make up my mind for me. And we're going to abide by the principles of God's word. Hear what I'm telling you. It takes a leader to make decisions, and there will always be criticism, because the leader always dares to think and act out of the norm. A leader in a crisis will always be the one saying, come on, let's go over here. Well, what if? You got plenty of people standing around. Well, what if this happened? Well, what if that happens? I'm reminded of the story in the scripture where there were four lepers. And they weren't supposed to go in the city. The Samaritan army had it all surrounded and everything. And they sat out there, you know. I mean, I just see it in my video in my mind. These four guys are sitting around talking about it. You know, one of them's got, a finger off here and a leg off there and, you know, an ear off over here. And they're saying, what are we going to do? The only place to get any food is inside of the city. And the Samaritans have got it. The Syrian army has got it. They said, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, let's go into the city and get some food. They made the conclusion. It's in your Bible. They said, we can starve out here or we can get killed in there, but at least we can eat. And you know what took place? This, you can read it for yourself. The Bible says these four guys got up with the determination of the Lord and started marching into the city. And by the time they got there, all of the Syrian army was gone and they had all the food they could eat. I want you to know something. No matter what's going on in your life, if you will operate by the wisdom of God, He will give you uncommon sense in the middle of a crisis that makes no sense at all. He'll give you a download of supernatural sense and wisdom. It takes wisdom of God, the wisdom of God, to navigate through a crisis. Now, understand this, that all wisdom comes from God. All wisdom comes from God. All wisdom comes from God. I don't care if it was the inventor of the light bulb, Edison. I don't care if it's the inventor of the internet. I don't care who it is. All that wisdom came from God. All wisdom comes from God. In fact, the Bible says He is the very spirit of wisdom. And when you look, and I don't have time to read it all, but I would encourage you to go back and read it yourself. In Proverbs 2, chapter 2, and chapter number 3, lets us know this, that wisdom, listen now, apart from God, leads to a snare. You will be snared if you just have knowledge, but not the wisdom of God, godly wisdom. Write this down, Proverbs 29, 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, the Bible says. But whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now that's a scripture you should tack up, post up. You should tweet that, whatever. Because that right there is the scripture. That's wisdom for the crisis we're in right now. If you're afraid of what men can do, then you're in the wrong place. You're not using wisdom. Because if you'll trust in the Lord, God said, I'll make you safe. I'll make you safe. God's wisdom isn't just available in one-time allotments or on some kind of installment plan. James, the book of James, look it up in James chapter 1. The Bible says that wisdom is coming. There is a steady flow of wisdom. In the middle of this crisis, God is sending wisdom to people. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if God is wisdom. He has all the wisdom. All wisdom comes from him. And he's written it down as the word of God. And this book is full of wisdom and the principles to lead our life. Then why wouldn't we pick up this book, find out what the principles are, and then begin to take steps, and then if we need help along the way, consider James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Don't let him ask of his educator or someone else, not even of his preacher. He said, let him ask from God. Why? That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He'll not hold anything back. And it shall be given him, verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the waves of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Then he gives us the conclusion of this passage of Scripture to let us know what it looks like. That a double-minded man, somebody that's trying to do it over here, thinking with your own, I'm going to figure this out by myself, but oh yeah, God, I need you in a crisis. He said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Not just his financial or spiritual ways, but in all of his ways. You make foolish decisions out of that. Consider in Proverbs chapter 1, I'm moving quickly here tonight, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 down through 7, there are five pillars of wisdom found in that particular chapter. I'm going to give them to you real quick. Here we go. Number one. One of the pillars of wisdom is self-discipline. Self-discipline. You find that in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 2, part B. Self-discipline. We talked a little bit about that this past week. The root word for discipline is disciple. It's critical for us to be self-disciplined in this hour. Just because you've got all the cookies that are in a package on the counter don't mean you need to eat them all at one time. Okay? Spread it out. Conserve. Come on, somebody. We're at a place right now where we've been so in our mind to just walk up and get whatever we want when we want it, and now we're in this crisis where we've got to limit what we even get. I mean, in the stores now, they're concerned about the food. The trucks coming and bringing more food, but you know, in the very beginning of this, bread was off the shelf, no toilet paper, all those kind of stuff going on. Ladies and gentlemen, self-discipline is one of the pillars of wisdom. Second, understanding. Understanding. We're going to talk about that more in a moment. Number three, wise relationships. That's wisdom. That's one of the pillars of wisdom. Wise relationships. Who you hooked up with? Who you connected with? Listen, I can tell you that more times than not, most people will fail because of those they associate with. Are they building you up? Are they drawing you closer to the Lord? Do they encourage you to draw closer to the Lord? Or are they pulling you back? I'm going to tell you, you don't have to worry about the devil, Satan. You can do it to yourself by associating with people that are not going in the direction of God. Ooh, I'm preaching this thing. I'm not getting very many amens, but I can't hear you out there, so I'm going to just say amen to myself. Because I'm just going to tell you, wise relationships will encourage you to draw nearer to the Lord, not pull back. That's wisdom. Number four, planning is another part of wisdom. Planning. The Bible says we should plan, even to plan. I really enjoy being able to plan. Listen to me. When you plan, it makes the execution that much easier. The reason why many people don't use wisdom in planning is because they just shoot from the hip and here we go. Now, I know I probably got some folks around me that say, Pastor, you shoot from the hip. No, I've already got, listen, at 3 o'clock this morning, I was already dreaming about some things that I needed to do in what we're doing right now and making this better so that when the door opens up, it'll be better for our students and kids that are over at the daycare. I just want to let you know, planning pays if you'll plan. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. You want to waste some money? Don't plan. You want to waste time? Don't plan. It will take longer for you to plan. I should teach a whole lesson on this. It will take longer for you to plan than it will for you to probably execute the situation. But wisdom says if you'll plan, You'll count the cost. You'll have the right people around you. Come on, somebody. Here's number five. The fifth pillar of wisdom is learning. Learning. Listen, I've always said to myself, and I've told my wife, my son, and everybody around me, don't ever stop learning. Don't ever stop learning. Always, always be learning. Always be reading. Always be reaching out. You're never too old to be able to learn something brand new. Now, I'm just going to tell you, like when you're 100, I wouldn't advise you to be jumping out of planes, all right, skydiving. But I'm just going to say to you, there's never a time when you can't reach out, because there is a never-ending stream of wisdom that's coming to you, and we stop that when we stop learning. Write these three things down. This will give you an understanding of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding right here. Watch this. Knowledge is information gained through experience, different experiences, reasoning, studying, or an acquaintance. Knowledge. You may stand and talking to somebody and increase your knowledge. Knowledge is a wonderful thing, but knowledge by itself is not going to get you where you need to go. You've got to have, secondly, wisdom. And not just anybody's wisdom, but godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Wisdom is then the application of that knowledge. How do I apply this knowledge? Okay? You may have the knowledge of a hammer, but if you're trying to unscrew a light bulb, the hammer is not going to help you. You need wisdom. Number three, you need understanding. The Bible says, in all of your getting, get understanding, because knowledge is one thing, and wisdom, how to apply it, is another thing. But understanding helps me to comprehend, to judge, to make an intelligent decision, perhaps in the timing of doing what I'm supposed to be doing in the middle of a crisis. I mean, this may not be, it may be the time for you to buy a house. It may not be the time for you to buy a house. I don't see people that are running out trying to be able to put a lot of cash out right now. There may be some. And if you've got it, maybe you burn it in your fireplace. I don't know, but I'm just going to say to you, most people are not doing that. You need to have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Now, let me tell you what understanding does. Understanding works for your present, but wisdom plans for the future. I'm just going to say to you right now that this pandemic is going to come to an end at some point. God already has planned it in the seasons of time. And seasons come and seasons go. We talked to you about that in lesson number one of this teaching. What you need to understand is that there is a future that is out in front of every one of us. I don't know what it's going to be like, and surely this pandemic and this crisis is making changes of things right now. And we're probably, every one of us, are going to have to make some changes in our lives. So even if it's a small change, I mean, look at me right now. I have a handful of people in this auditorium, and you that are watching on live streaming right now, and this is something, ladies and gentlemen, that some churches are not prepared to do. Some are not able to do it. Some are able to do it. Some doing it on their iPhone, whatever that it may be. It's changed the entire dynamic of how we do church right now. Now, I can balk at that. I can say I don't understand it. I can say I don't have the knowledge of it. But I'm going to tell you, and this was in that article that I was reading concerning what the effect is on churches. And here's what you need to know, is that a large percentage of the churches that are going to wind up going by the wayside, they don't have to, but many of them have not replenished their congregation with new converts of evangelism and reaping the harvest. So most of them are older congregations that have not the desire or the will to get involved in the knowledge explosion of the internet and live streaming and social media. And as a result of that, we can balk at that, we can shout at the darkness all we want to, or we can bring a light and a flashlight and turn on the live streaming and do what God's called us to do. It may not always look like it's supposed to. It may not even sound always like it's supposed to. But one thing I know, I will not let the darkness of ignorance stop me from exploring God's wisdom in the areas that He's called us to go.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.